From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, September 18th. I'm Abby Larico. Today marks 1 year without cash bail in the state of Illinois. Chief Judge Andrew Gleason at the St. Clair County Courthouse says the state is safer under the new system.
The assessment of how dangerous they are to us and whether they're going to reappear for court is what we should have probably been doing all along.
A chat with Judge Gleason about how the first year without cash bail has gone in the Metro East County, coming up on The Gateway. For the second time in a week, online shooting threats were made against Rittner High School on Tuesday. Police arrested a juvenile suspect at Rittner's Husky Academy, the district's alternative high school, within 24 minutes of learning about the threat through a tip line. Police say the suspect had a loaded gun and is a former Rittner High School student. Superintendent Chris Kilbride commended students for speaking up.
Our students and our community, they're so vigilant around this that is what is going to keep everybody safer than anything. When people see something, they got to say something.
Police say no shots were fired and no one was injured. The suspect is being held at the St. Anne Police Department. In these first few weeks of the new school year, several online threats have been made against school districts in the St. Louis region. Classes at Ladue Horton Watkins High School were also canceled on Tuesday following an unsubstantiated bomb threat. And last week, the Centralia, Illinois Police Department took an 11-year-old girl into custody for making a threat at Centralia Junior High. Plaintiffs are expected to wrap up witness testimony today in the federal trial challenging Illinois' assault weapons ban. The case is being heard in East St. Louis, the Southern District Federal Court for Illinois. It questions whether the Protect Illinois Communities Act is constitutional. Tuesday's arguments centered on whether certain guns and other accessories are protected by the Second Amendment. Capital News Illinois reports the state claims that military weapons are not protected, while experts for the plaintiffs testified the assault-style weapons that have been banned are not intended for military use. The case is expected to wind up at the U.S. Supreme Court. The bench trial is scheduled to run through Friday, but may finish early. U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth is slamming Senate Republicans for blocking her fertility bill for a second time. The Illinois Democrat said on the Senate floor she blames former President Donald Trump for putting in vitro fertilization at risk through his three Supreme Court nominees.
Despite the incoherent, delusional, and frankly embarrassing ramblings that came out of his mouth last week, the reality is that he is the reason that IVF is at risk in the first place.
Trump has called himself a, quote, leader on IVF. Duckworth says she hopes Republicans pay a price on Election Day for blocking the bill that would have established legal protections for the procedure. A new poll out this week shows overwhelming support for a constitutional amendment in Missouri that would restore abortion rights in the state. Sam Zeff reports.
The Emerson College poll shows what's known as Amendment 3, winning right now 58-30%, with 12% unsure. It has wide support. 90% of Democrats back the amendment, independents support it by more than 2-1, and it even has the backing of 50% of Republicans. A majority of women and men are in favor. Missouri Ethics Commission reports show money continues to pour into campaigns for both for and against the amendment. This month, in donations over $5,000, those favoring abortion rights have contributed $1.8 million, and those opposed have donated $365,000. I'm Sam Zeff.
Legal efforts to save the life of Marcellus Williams continue. Last week, a St. Louis County judge rejected an effort to find Williams innocent of a 1998 murder. This week, St. Louis County Prosecutor Wesley Bell asked the Missouri Supreme Court to overturn that ruling. Yesterday, Williams' attorneys also filed documents in federal court arguing that new evidence from an August hearing proves prosecutors unfairly prevented a black juror from serving solely because of his race. That would violate a 1986 U.S. Supreme Court decision. Williams is set to be executed September 24th. A Democratic lawmaker from Kansas City is hoping to become Missouri's next lieutenant governor. Richard Brown spoke with St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum on Politically Speaking.
Brown is a former teacher who has served as the assistant minority leader for Missouri House Democrats. If he's elected lieutenant governor, he plans to aggressively promote the state's tourism industry and advocate for seniors. And while Brown wants to work with Republicans if elected, he also says he'll be a check against what he calls the excesses of GOP governance.
I'm an elected official. So if I go in there and rock the boat a little bit, it's okay because I'm doing my job. You know, I want to advocate for what people really need.
Brown is squaring off against Republican David Wassinger on November 5th. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
The home of the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra will have a new name when the group returns to its stage next September. The Jack C. Taylor Music Center will encompass a renovated Powell Hall, plus an expanded lobby, education center, and backstage wing for performers. Symphony leadership announced this morning the first shows at the Grand Center venue will begin in September of 2025. The SLSO has been performing at other venues since work began on the $140 million, 64,000-foot expansion project at the start of last season. The name honors the late founder of Enterprise Rent-A-Car, Jack Taylor, a prolific donor to the symphony and other local arts groups. Powell Hall was built in 1925 and has been home to the symphony since 1968. The organization behind Music at the Intersection says it cares about local artists despite claims of unfair treatment. Local performers say over the weekend they were denied access to the Artist Village and weren't given basic necessities like food. Chris Hansen is the executive director of the Kranzberg Arts Foundation. He disputes those claims.
This festival is about celebrating St. Louis and St. Louis talent. And every year we try to take care of everybody at all the stages. There's full hospitality in the backstage of every stage. Every artist has their different requirements, but we make sure there's a basic hospitality that is set up at every stage.
Music at the Intersection featured major acts including Chaka Khan, Chingy, and Big Boy. The Amazon warehouse in Edwardsville that was ravaged by a tornado in 2021 has reopened. The retail giant said the Metro East delivery station ramped up for business earlier this month. That's roughly 2 years and 9 months after a tornado destroyed the facility, killing six people. Amazon spokesman Steve Kelly says the exterior was complete roughly 1 year after the tornado hit. Since then, construction crews have been finishing up the interior.
We are ready to ramp up at this facility and deliver for our customers in the area again.
This warehouse was not built with a storm shelter, which is not required by law, but has drawn criticism. The building does have stronger walls. Amazon also hired a meteorologist and reworked its extreme weather procedures. One year ago today, Illinois got rid of cash bail under new legislation called the Safety Act. Now, if the state or county wants to keep someone in jail, prosecutors have to convince a judge that the accused criminal should remain detained at a pretrial hearing. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer sat down with Chief Judge Andrew Gleason at the St. Clair County Courthouse to see how the new system has worked so far.
What comes to mind is we had a monumental transition to make. Effectively, the Safety Act legislation changed the processes for the criminal justice system as I've known it throughout my whole career, which is legal career, which is almost 40 years now. And it meant that every aspect of that process was affected. I'm proud to say that all of those people cooperating and collaborating have made that transition effectively work.
One of the biggest logistical hurdles that eliminating cash bail put on the criminal justice system that one could argue is the extra workload that the local state's attorneys and the local public defenders kind of have under this new system. So how have they adapted from your vantage point over this 1 year in the new system?
You know, I have to praise the public defender's office and Kathy McElroy and the state's attorneys, but particularly the public defender's office, because they already had a significant caseload, and this was additional work. They have stepped up to the plate. They have been ingenious in some ways in rearranging their day-to-day dockets so that they have the ability to operate in the Safety Act and in this realm efficiently. So with that said, we still need resources.
So maybe one of the most common things that you might have heard from critics, I heard it quite a bit, was that the elimination of cash bail could make the state less safe. And the simple theory behind that is, you know, because people accused of maybe less egregious crimes no longer have to stay in jail under this new system. Judge Gleason, do you think Illinois has gotten less safe in this one-year sense?
I think you can make the counter-argument, too, in making the argument that those who perhaps were dangerous had the ability to bond out, had the ability if they had enough money, and many of those people did. The idea that we are assessing that level of danger to the community at large and or to any individual person before we allow someone to be out on bail is, I think, the counter-argument's probably correct. We're safer under this present system. And then and probably just as important is now we are upholding our obligations to the Constitution of the United States and the rights of us as individual citizens in this country. We are deemed to be innocent until proven guilty. Bond is only set to make sure that you appear in court. So the assessment of how dangerous they are to us and whether they're going to reappear for court is what we should have probably been doing all along.
So as we go forward, what lessons, if any, are we learning of cash bail, and what changes or improvements need to be made here in St. Clair County?
Are people going to show up to court? And I think everyone who's been involved in the system as long as I have was leery of the thought that we're going to let people go with really to a degree with no catch to bring them back in. And surprisingly, the academics were correct. There is no meaningful difference at this point that we can discern as to whether you post bond or you don't, as to whether you're going to show up in court.
That was Chief Judge Andrew Gleason of Illinois' 20th Circuit, based at the St. Clair County Courthouse, speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer. Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.